Okay, we'll go ahead and begin tonight, and as was mentioned last week, we have decided to move our public comments portion to the first item on the agenda. And as we discussed, it will be the first item on the agenda. Also, ask anybody who has here tonight who would like to address the court to have signed in already at the podium. It's on the podium, and we would like just your printed name, that we make sure it's legible, we can have a reference point, and then also the topic that you would like to discuss tonight. We're going to be limiting public comments to 3 minutes. I think that's adequate time to get the gist of what your message is, that we could discuss a little bit with you tonight and perhaps later at a different point in time, since our office is always open. So is there anybody tonight that's wishing to address the court? I didn't see any names on the list as I came by earlier, but please don't, with this being the inaugural run of it, please don't let that deter you. So, all right. If there are no citizens wishing to address the public tonight, we will move on then to item number two of our agenda, and that is the approval, magistrates, of your court minutes from November 3rd, 2025. I surmise that you've had an opportunity to read through and study the minutes as printed. Is there a motion to approve the minutes as presented? Thank you, Master Littlejohn, for the motion. I have a second from Master Wright. Is there any questions, comments, or considerations before final approval? If there is not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? There is none. Motion carries. The intertransfers, Lucy.
So we just have one. It is coming from the general fund and going into the sheriff's fund. This is a regularly scheduled, budgeted item. So we'll do $100,000 at this time. We'll start getting a little more tax revenue from them for their fund, and we probably won't have to make any contributions for a little while, but we just got to get them through right now.
Okay. We'll take the separately. So our intra transfers, we have one. You've heard the explanation of the transfer.
The motion we
approve. Thank you, Master Wright, for the approval. Do we have a second?
Second.
Master Littlejohn, any additional questions? Hearing none, you're ready to vote. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? There is none. Motion carries. Our intra transfers.
Okay, we've got a few of those, and most of the ones, actually all of the ones in the general fund are going to cover insurance expense. First one taken out of Justice Center insurance, $19,616 to go into the insurance line item. The next one's coming out of unemployment insurance for $7,500 and going into the insurance line item. And the last one in the general fund coming out of reserve for transfer, $13,262 to go into the insurance line item.
All right.
The next one is the road fund insurance for vehicles and going into the workers' comp line item, $11,236. And the last one in the sheriff's fund, the only one not insurance related, coming out of reserve for transfer into body cameras and equipment for $989.
Okay, you can see we have to be insured, but it takes a lot of money to do that insuring. So any questions or comments? Is there a motion to approve?
Make motion.
Motion from Master Bush. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Master Dunn. Any other questions or comments? Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? There is none. Motion carries. Let's look at our expenditures for this period, and I'll begin on page 1 of 3 in the general fund, discussing those that are over $1,000. Item number 3 is the Bank of Katy's. This is the payment on our spec building. Interest, $214,437.90. Of course, this is a portion of that is paid by the Economic Development Local IDA Board, which funds come from the RDAP money that we'll discuss later, the TBA money. So this is coming from our funds here. About a third of the way down, we had need to survey, have Matthew Clark do some surveying for the county at a cul-de-sac on Cross Creek Road. That cost was $1,500. About three from the bottom, you'll see Taco All Lines Fund Premium. This is the last payment on that this year, $39,972.33. Page 2 of 3. Number 2, their Liberty Tire Recycle. This is the advertised tire roundup we talked about. This is 5 loads of those tires that were picked up, $7,142.20. Mobile Communications, $2,960. This is labor and the services associated with making some changes at 911. And you'll hear from our director in a few moments along with part of the discussion of this cost as well. U.S. Bank, toward the bottom, hospital bond payment number 20, $156,462.50. Page 3 of 3, the remodeling of the 911 department, $45,291.19. This will be a 90% reimbursed grant, so you'll hear about that and the improved dispatch center in a moment. Anything on the general fund so far? If not, moving on to the road fund, page 1 of 2, just about 3 down, you'll see Econo signs. All the sign material it takes to do the signs, and that cost will be drastically reduced if our signs are not vandalized and taken down and those kind of things. So that's the cost currently for this period, $3,086.05. CACO Workers' Comp Fund, $11,250.17. CACO All Lines Fund Premium. This is on the international truck leases that we entered into earlier this year, $4,978.52. O'Reilly Automotive, a assortment of purchases there, $1,190.59. Two invoices from Rogers Group, Road Materials, $4,919.11 and $4,686.71.
Those trucks, that lease was to own, right?
That is correct, and we hope to have those maybe in January. Brandon will discuss that. He talked, I think, earlier with that lease company, and they are not on property as we speak. Jail fund, page 1 of 1. You will see inmate boarding, Christian County Treasurer's Office, $22,560. Sheriff's Department, page 1 of 2, or Sheriff's Fund, page 1 of 2. Card Member Services, Office Supplies, Equipment, $1,195.31. Keesler's Police Supply, $2,101.80. PTS of America, which will be reimbursed to the Sheriff's Fund, that says their prisoner transport from Virginia, $2,573. Skip over to our LGA fund, which is container waste, fees to BSI Waste, $3,536.35. You will see the back page of total invoices from all the funds, and the total being $540,289.29. So you see where your funds have gone for this invoice. Is there question, comments? Clarification, because I had to talk about these or any of those that I failed to mention because they were under a $1,000 threshold. Hearing nothing, is there a motion to approve payment of these invoices?
So moved.
Thank you, Master Sumner. We have a second.
Second.
Master Bush, thank you. No additional questions. Hearing none, Masters. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, like sign. There's none. Motion carries. All right. We'll move down to our next item of business tonight. As discussed earlier, item number 6, we will talk about the REDAP authorization designation and SBGEA resolution 2512. This is to allow. Mr. Breakboy is going to read this for us, just a second. This is the, basically the TVA RDAP money, RDAP money that comes to each county, either the footprint or has property or value in TVA territory. And this year, it is $153,846 annually that these counties get. This is the reason counties like ours has been able to maybe make some things happen in the last few years in this area. So we have to do this annually. We'll let Mr. Bregoy discuss it with us, and then we'll vote.
This is for the adoption of a resolution of the fiscal court designating the Trigg County Industrial Development Authority special purpose government entity to receive TVA funds under the Regional Development Agency Assistance Program and authorizing the filing of a Regional Development Agency Assistance Program proposal for a grant application for up to $153,846 in RDAP funds with the Department for Local Government and authorizing the County Industrial Development Authority to act as the authorized correspondent for the project. Whereas Trigg County desires to promote and carry out economic development efforts and job creation activities on behalf of the residents of the county by supporting the RDAP project, and whereas it is recognized that RDAP funds available to the county pursuant to statute impose certain obligations and responsibilities upon the county and will require, one, approval of a satisfactory application to be transmitted to DLG for approval, two, the designation of a special purpose governmental entity as defined in KRS 65A.010 and concurrence with the respective state representatives and state senators. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the 17th day of November by the court, that the special purpose government entity designated to receive Regional Development Agency Assistance Program funds is the Trigg County Industrial Development Authority, care of Ms. Butts, here in Cadiz. RDAP project on behalf of the county for RDAP monies up to $153,846 for the spec building debt service project shall be submitted to DLG. The county shall provide such additional information and furnish such documentation as may be required, and the designated SPGP shall act as the authorized correspondent for the project. What a mouthful.
All right. You've heard the explanation of the resolution 2512, and this is nothing new to the court. They've been doing this for a number of years and using the Trigg County Industrial Development Authority as the one who will be the conduit for making that happen, so forth. So is there any questions or comments about this resolution?
Not brown-nosing, but thank you, former senator, for your work on this project.
Duly noted. You'll get more paving money.
I'll make a motion to accept this.
Thank you. All right, Wayne, I hear you. All right, so thank you. So a motion is made. We have a second on the floor. It does pay big dividends in small communities, like I said earlier. Any questions or comments? Hearing nothing, if you're ready to vote, Masters, those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? There's none. Motion carried.
What? Quick there. Got a motion and a second?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I use you as my second.
Perfect.
All right. Okay. Anybody else? Have any questions on that? Let's move along then to... our number seven tonight is the amended code of ethics, ordinance 2505. We were needing to reappoint ethics committee members, and you see a list that we're going to discuss in just a moment. These four plus an additional will make what is our five members ethics committee members. They're staggered terms, of course, We got to looking at the ordinance, and it was adopted in 1994. And so there have been several things that have gone by the wayside in 30-plus years. That came down as a KRS right after the Bob Trot issues issues that took place in the legislature with some of the financial disclosures and non-disclosures that were taking place. And so through that time period, every county was required to pass a ordinance with a code of ethics ordinance. These are filed with the ELG, and through that, you have a ethics committee, local ethics committee that is formed as part of this. There are figures that were attached to this that have been adjusted due to inflation and time. And so we thought with this being the need for this, as well as getting ready to start the signing, this is not only for elected officials, it's for those who have declared to file for office as well. So we thought with the time it was probably right to get that done. Talked work with Mr. Brayboy. We have made some adjustments with this, but when this is hopefully eventually passed at our last meeting in December, this will go into effect that will be working towards our January 1st, 2026 deadline. That will have all the fiscal court members, as well as anybody who has filed for office to run for office as well, with their disclosures, and then also, of course, the code of ethics. That is the big part of this that allows the five-person member some basis to work off of. Remember, they're lay people like we are. They're not attorneys, they're not judges, but they are individuals who can take the ordinance and can hash out, based upon complaint, if there is anything to that. From that point in time, it would go a little bit further. So I'm going to let the counselor, who knows what he's talking about, discuss this.
Thank you, Steve. We picked this up and dusted it off. As Stan said, it was approved in November of 1994, and so it's 31 years old. We got to consulting with some of our neighboring counties and what have you, and most of them have approved amendments to their ethics ordinance. Most of them have done that, just a few of them that we're aware of have done that just in the last several years, some as recently as earlier this year. Some of the figures in here didn't make as much sense as they did in 1994. We are all aware that inflation has pushed numbers up quite a bit. I was looking at the consumer price index a minute ago, and we're at almost 2.5 times, everything's 2.5 times higher now than it was in 1994. Additionally, the statute has been amended, I think I counted 12 times since it was first approved in early 1994. So, not locally, the statute, the General Assembly has amended the statute, the governing statute. You'll see in the first line there, Truth Physical Court has authority pursuant to KRS 65 to enact an ordinance establishing a code of ethics. Well, it's much more an authority. It's actually an obligation. It's a duty that this court has. All 120 counties have been required to do this. And to my knowledge, all 120 counties did comply with this back in the 90s when it was first required. The ordinance you see here today is, as you kind of recognize the font on here, my guess is this ordinance was hammered out when a typewriter was still used to produce documents around here. The ordinance that you see here is by and large the existing ordinance. As far as the outline, you know, the definitions, the standards of conduct. Financial disclosures, the portion related to nepotism or, you know, hiring your brother, the formation and the existence of the County Ethics Commission, and some of the legal mumbo jumbo there at the end. I'm not going to trouble you by reading all this. It takes 10 or 15 minutes, and probably lose interest about the first 30 seconds, and you'd be asleep in a minute or two. What we've done is we've passed this out to you, and we're looking for input. We're looking for suggestions to ways to improve this. As we mentioned a moment ago, some of the dollar numbers have changed a little bit, and I was comparing those to some of those that have amended their ordinance this year, and we were right on target with what those counties have approved, particularly the one I was looking at was Crittenden County. But with that said, we're looking to approve this. I'll read you the reasons here. Whereas the fiscal court is the authority to do this and to enact an ordinance, and there is also a provision in that statute that we have the duty to and the authority to make amendments to the ordinance. It is for the purpose of guiding the conduct of elected and appointed officers and employees of Trigg County, including members of the fiscal court, the county attorney, the county clerk, the jailer, the coroner, the surveyor, the constable, and the sheriff. And whereas public office and employment are in public trust, and government has a duty both to provide their citizens with standards by which they may determine whether public duties are being faithfully performed, and to apprise their officers and employees of the behavior which is expected of them while conducting their public duties. And whereas it is the purpose of this ordinance to provide a method of assuring the standards of ethical conduct for local governments and office, local government officers and employees shall be clear, consistent, and uniform in their application, and to provide local officers and employees with advice and information concerning possible conflicts of interest which might arise in the conduct of their public duties. We are also required, and there are provisions in here for all of the elected officials, as well as the pertinent employees of the county, as well as, and was mentioned a moment ago when I was reading this resolution concerning these REDAP funds, and the special government entities are specifically covered in here. So not only does this ordinance relate to those of us who are obviously elected and or employees of the county, it also tentacles out to those that are on particular committees and other boards, particularly those boards that have members that are appointed by this court. And I know Judge Executive's office, and Lucy and Karen and Lori keep up with a great long list of everybody that that is appointed by the court, and this applies to them as well, particularly if they have access or determine the spending of funds that are raised, of course, as public funds. So it's not just those of us around this table that are going to have to do these disclosures, but I'll try to mention what those committees are. You guys know who they are and how far that goes, but technically those have to follow these kinds of disclosures as well.
Okay. That's your summary of it. Okay. Anybody, I think Masher's had a copy, and anybody that needs a copy, we have some extra ones for you also. But this will be the first reading. This is just something to go by, this, a start. And as we move through this process, we're glad to take any of your thoughts and ideas in consideration as we could alter those by the second reading, which would be scheduled at the second meeting in December. And that way it would become effective at that point in time. That would allow us to have that ready for January. And then all those that would be running for office would be on schedule to be part of that.
There is a questionnaire or a financial disclosure that's required by this ordinance. It runs on a calendar year basis, and particularly asks questions related to December 31st, which is kind of our push to get any update here that we would have in place by the end of this year. And then during the month of January, prior to the 31st, as it states in here, disclosures. It says with the local ethics committee, of course, we're a small community here. The ethics committee doesn't have a separate office, place of business, if you will. Carmen has agreed to, at the request of the ethics commission, to place those records in her vault for safekeeping. The statute does provide that the records, not only are they required, but they are also open to open records requests. And so in the event that there was a request, that request would be placed with the commission, and they would respond to it accordingly.
I think it's important to know, we've had this ethics commission in place for a long time, and several of these members, this is not their first time serving on our ethics commission as well.
That's true. The ethics commission has existed, to my knowledge, ever since it was put in place since 1994.
Now, you see at much higher levels of government, and I'm talking about much higher levels, people go in with normal wealth, and then after serving many years, they have extreme wealth, and I don't see how that happens, and it doesn't happen here. It's a great ordinance. Having read it, it's very common sense. You just do the right thing, and we shouldn't get any benefits that the public citizens can't get. It's very easy to understand, and I'd like to make a motion that we accept this version of it.
Okay. This is the first reading, and Mr. Wright's made a motion to approve the first reading. First, for the motion tonight, is there a second to that?
Second.
Master Dunn has made the second along the lines of the first reading for 2505. Okay. Are there any additional questions or comments that the masters need to have answered tonight to feel squared away on what this is? Everybody good? All right. And again, you get home and you read through this and you say, what about this? Bring it to our attention, and maybe we still have time to run that before you.
Yeah, we've been consulting with Mike Foster in Hopkinsville, too. And of course, he's got a lot of experience with it. So he's made some suggestions that are not yet put in place here, but we hope to look through those and perhaps make those amendments as well.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Anything else for clarity? If not, Masters, you're ready to vote. Those in favor of the motion to approve tonight signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? There's none. Motion carries. Okay, and with that said, we will move on to the reappointment of four of our Ethics Committee members. One member was not up for reappointment until next year, so we want to make sure we stagger these so we won't have everybody again coming do it at the same time. We'll take them one by one, beginning with Mr. Paxton Red, which would run through 12-2 this year through 12-1-29, a four-year term. Is there a motion to approve Paxton Red?
Motion.
I have a motion on the floor by Magistrate Bush. Do we have a second?
Second.
Magistrate Lane, thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? There's none. Motion carries. Dr. Tom Martin, he'll be taking the three-year term, expiring 12-1-28. Is there a motion to approve?
So,
Dr. Martin, we have a motion from Magistrate Littlejohn. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Magistrate Wright. Any questions or comments? There are none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? There's none. Motion carries. Our third appointee taking the two-year term, Mrs. Cammie Evans. Her term will expire 12-1-27. Is there a motion to approve, Ms. Evans? Magistrate Lane, thank you. Have a second?
Second.
I heard Alana's first. Okay, so have a second from Ms. Dunn. Is there any other questions or comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? There's none. Motion carries. Mr. Norman Cotton will be taking the one-year term. Is there a motion to approve,
so
Mr.
Moved.
Cotton?
So moved.
Thank you, Magistrate Littlejohn. And do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Bush, thank you. If there's no other comments, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? There's none. Motion carries. All right. So they join Patrick Dawson, who's the fifth member of this list, and that'll be the five-person group on this ethics board. We'll move down to the Trigana Extension Board. I'd like to offer up two names tonight to continue serving with a three-year term. The Trigana Extension Board, first is Mr. Jesse Fry, ending in November 30th of 28. Is there a motion to approve?
Make a motion.
Mr. Bush, thank you. Do you have a second?
Second.
Mr. Littlejohn, any questions or comments? If not, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? There's none. Motion carries. Also, our next reappointment will be Lucy Kyler. Same term of 3 years. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you, Master Wright. And a second, Mr. Littlejohn. All right. I'll read nothing into that quick motion in a second, but go right ahead. With that said, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, there's none. Motion carries. Okay. I'm going to give the floor over then to... our 911 coordinator, Ms. Lori Jenkins, and she's going to come and give us an update on what she's been doing at our 911 center, and she'll probably discuss some of those invoices and the grant process a little bit to you as well. So, Lori, the floor is yours.
I don't know the easiest way to get this around. I don't know.
Just start with Mr. Broadbent and let him take it. Take a look and pass it around.
Thank you.
As you guys know, you heard the two big invoices that we paid. In March of 2025, I set out once again to apply for a grant that had the power to completely transform Trigg County 911 Center. The 911 Services grant laid out a strict criteria centered around next generation 911 and GIS related guidelines. I know it was a long shot, but I was determined to pour every bit of my grant writing skills, dedication, and heart into it. After all, it never hurts to try. On July 17th, I sat at my computer watching the approvals begin to roll in, and then I saw it at Trigg County. I screamed at the top of my lungs. Hosanna didn't even have to move from her console because she knew that all of our hard work had actually paid off. The new workstations are beyond what we could have imagined. Designed specifically for our space, they offer comfort, convenience, and personalization that make a world of difference. Everything we need is within reach, allowing for better productivity, focus, accessibility, and critical elements in a job where only seconds matter. These These upgrades directly enhance how we serve our first responders with more efficient, reliable, and ergonomic workstations. Our dispatchers can focus fully on what matters most, getting help to those who need it faster and more accurately than before. Improved technology and better workflows mean quicker coordination during emergencies, clear communication, and more effective support for firefighters, EMS, and law enforcement on scene. With the support of our county and fiscal court, not only were we able to provide the required 10% match, and we also completed a much-needed update to the 911 center itself. Fresh paint, new accent walls, and tile backsplash in the kitchen have brightened our workspace, creating a more welcoming environment for our dispatchers who spend countless hours here serving our community. As a team, we added our own personal touches, decorations, small details to make the center feel like home. In our defense, we really do live here a lot. First and foremost, I want to thank my dispatchers. I know my drive for perfection, especially in a project like this, can make me tough to work with, but they handle it like true champs. To Judge Humphreys, thank you for believing in my vision. To David Bryant and Steve Skinner for dealing with my shenanigans and moving the heavy stuff. And to our deputies and crew who volunteered their time to paint, tile, and finish the final touches. Thank you for always having our six. And to the fiscal court, your faith in me, our 911 center, and this project means more than words could ever express. This project is more than new furniture and fresh paint. It's an investment in safety, efficiency, and the continued excellence of an emergency response in Trigg County. Together, we've built a space that empowers our dispatchers and strengthens our connection to every first responder we proudly serve, as well as our community.
Thank you, Lori. And I know the court has had a chance to look at that, and I know our media is taking a look. And of course, you got some before and afters over there. And so I think it's hard to put it on a picture what it looks like, but it looks awesome. And it looks like a first-rate 911 dispatch center. You know, there are some things that we can skimp on, and we have to skimp on some things because money just doesn't fall from the heavens or pick it off trees. But some things you can't skip on. And I think this is one of those areas that we have to try to find a way. We did, through the persistent work of Lori and this grant opportunity. We were very fortunate because we were at the very end of having to do something regardless of how this played out. And so we're thankful for the grant, the opportunity, and for the dispatchers under the leadership of Lori who have really welcomed this opportunity and took it upon themselves to make the most out of this re-up and this redo that we've had there. So, Lori, thank you for what you all do. I think it's to serve our community well in the years to come. So thanks very much for your hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Lori.
Okay, Brandon's here with a road department report.
I won't even try. I don't have a lot to update this week. I was actually off last week, so last week we did a lot of bush hogging, some limb trimming. We started some ditch work down in the Canton area. I still got some more of that to do. We're going to try to work our way through there to all the way through Lockheed itself, kind of get in Woodland Hills, Western Pacific. So I'm doing more of a push this fall, winter, this time of year to do more ditching and try to clean some areas up that those big hassles in the springtime when the rains come. So. Like Judge said earlier, I did call Ettinger and Son today. The trucks aren't actually on their lot. They're in the process of going from International to Ettinger. He said, good news, earliest to be January. He said, it'll probably be first quarter next year before we see the trucks here. He said, that's everything. There's over 100 some trucks there waiting on their lot that's already ahead of us. So. Did get some striping done last week. Kind of spur of the moment, Judge and I talked about it. I reached out to the general striping, sent them a list. They gave us a quote. I sent them back another list about half the roads we wanted to do this fall. I know they did the four that we sent them, plus one. And I'm waiting to hear back from him to see if that was the only extra one he did this fall. If so, we'll be all right. I told him we'll probably try to do the rest of them in the springtime, depending on what the budget was like at that time. So, did do Blue Springs, Canton Blue Springs, Parkview Shores, Goose Hollow, and Glenwood Mills. So this is about the list that we had already approved that got done last week. We're still trying to finish up the last round of bush hogging. We're about halfway through one side and a quarter through the other side because of tractor issues. So we're in the limmer just about every day. We're finally out of Lockheed area and around through Linton's. So that was one of the last areas we've hit. So once the bush hog crews finish up, first crew done, we'll start holding the other limmer on the other side of the county. So I haven't had a whole lot of complaints lately, but now if I say that, I'll get them soon. So like this time of year, most of the limbs pop back up, but the leaves are off, so it's just a little bit, but it's still a mess.
Anybody have questions for Brandon?
I'll get master comments that relate to him.
Okay, all right.
I'll go ahead and give them now. I'm speaking to myself as much as I am anybody here because I'm on the budget committee. And looking at our road department, the public has to realize, and we have to realize, what do we have, 460 miles plus of county roads?
Roughly, yes.
It amazes me. That's enough to go from Katy's to Louisville and back, and then probably to Murray. And so it just astounds me how many we have. And when you have 460 miles plus of roads, you got 460 miles or maybe double that of ditches because you got both sides. You got lemon and everything that comes with it. And I'm getting to a point at the end, but what distinguishes and sets the road department job apart from others is I've seen those guys working in 0 degrees weather, 100 degrees weather, in the middle of the night when they're called out. And the last 3 times I've been on a job looking at it with the road department, traffic does not slow down. I was scared for my own safety out there looking at ditching on Glenwood Mill today because the traffic does not even pay you any mind. So speaking to myself on the budget committee and the rest of the budget committee, when it comes up next year, I want to start looking ahead long term that we really look at making sure our road department is paid with the best of the road departments based on what they do and the uniqueness of that job. So I appreciate everything that you and your crew do, and I hope we can look at that over the next year and not wait till the last month before it happens. Start now looking at what other people are paid and what we can do. So, thank you.
Any other questions or comments for Brandon? All right, Brandon, thank you so much.
And my point was also that when you do get a raise in the road department, the guys out there, the day-to-day guys, and then their benefits go up almost to match their raise, they're just treading water. And so that concerns me also.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Okay, thank you, Master Wright, for those comments. Since we've segued into Master comments, anybody else have a comment that I'd like to make tonight? All right. I have very few judges' comments, and I will. Won't take very long to getting that done. I want to just clarify, we had an NRCS bid a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago we did, and it was Perry Construction. Government has been shut down for 42 days. Open back up, they've made contact, they're going to get that process rolling on 525 for the Casey Creek area. So I think they've made contact, that should be getting ready to take place fairly soon on that. So if you've been wondering what happened to that, government shutdown. The Council Area Development District will be coming up, I guess it's this Thursday, we'll have that meeting taking place. And then also that evening, the 250 committee is meeting. That is the commemoration of the our nation's birthday. As you know, next year is 250 years. So there's a committee that's working hard trying to work towards doing a few extra things to commemorate that anniversary. They've been meeting tomorrow night at 5:30. Anybody's welcome to be part of that and support that. But we do have a host of folks who are really putting some, a lot of effort into that. So it'll be Thursday evening at the EOC Center. Monday, Southwest Kentucky will be having its monthly meeting at Hopkinsville on the 24th at noon. And then was made mention last week with the approval in the Senate first and then the House. Congressman Comer had found a plug in a $3 million grant for USDA grant for the new ambulance building at Tree County Hospital, which is a huge shot in the arm for that situation there. That building has been long overdue for upgrades, and so this should put, again, like I mentioned earlier with 911, there's some things that we shouldn't have on the back burner. This is one of those things. So there will be a grant, there will be a match for this, 20%. I'm already working with the state. There was a House bill a couple years ago, as you know, to try to find a way to match grants, and this is that opportunity. So I've been in discussion with some leaders in Frankfort about that. That's one possibility. I hope that is the answer that we get from them, is successful there. But it's hard to think about not utilizing $3 million when it comes to your community. So I just want to make you aware of that, and that had been discussed, but I didn't think it could be a reality with the way things were playing out in Washington, but it somehow or another made its way onto the mini bus that was passed last week. So,
and we're the only ones in Western Kentucky that got anything like that.
As far as I know, that's right, yes, sir.
But I also, I'm not trying to interrupt your comments.
Go right ahead. Yep.
That project has been in the works for years.
Yes, it has.
We've been working with Congressman Comer's office to try to make this happen. It didn't just happen overnight.
It just didn't happen overnight. And, they're not called earmarks any longer. But it is one of those things that we found its way onto a short list of projects for this region.
And seconding Madison Dunn's comments earlier, and I'm not looking for a treat to be thrown away or anything, but I appreciate your connections that you have in state government and the way you work to get that money to supplement that.
Thank you, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, it's a fact, so we appreciate your ability to do that.
Thank you, sir. Okay, just want to make sure everybody caught the news last week. It was kind of a different week with CAECO going on, and so everybody was aware of that that USDA grant awarding last week. And so also speaking about a short week, next week will be Thanksgiving week. Just for clarity, the courthouse will be closing at noon on Wednesday, and then there will be obviously nobody here Thanksgiving Day or Friday. And so we just hoping that you have a good Thanksgiving season with your family and friends. Hope it's all you want it to be. And we can come back, just make sure right, watch those calorie intake.
I'm watching.
All right, I'm putting you with me. So I just want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, let you know our office hours next week. But lots going on, and we'll try to wrap up the calendar year on the next couple of meetings with some good stuff as we work through this amendment. So anything else needs to come before the court before we look to adjourn tonight? If there is not, we have a motion to adjourn. Master Lane, thank you, and Master Little John, one second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You all have a good evening.